I am speaking this morning with Dr. Janet Schreiber. She's trained counselors and other health professionals for over 30 years and is currently the program director for the Grief, Loss, and Trauma Certificate Program at Southwestern College. She founded the local coalition to improve end-of-life care, Santa Fe Doorways, runs a program to support caregivers, Caring Can Be Shared, and develop a program for elderly LGBT people in the community called Word Out. We are here today, though, to talk about the Mental Illness Awareness Week. So welcome to the Radio Cafe, Dr. Schreiber.
Thank you so much, Celie.
Well, please tell us about, it sounds like your list of professional accomplishments is so long, there's many questions I have about it, but this specifically, you are also part of a coalition of mental health groups which has come together in honor of Mental Health Awareness Week. So can you tell us what that is, what groups are involved, and what might be happening?
Oh, I'm thrilled to be able to do that, Silly. I think this collaboration over Mental Health Awareness Week is really important because in New Mexico, one in every four people is challenged by dealing with some type of mental illness. Yet there's a lot of stigma and misunderstanding. It's very hard for people to find good information. So in Mental Health Awareness Week, we're bringing together a group of several different organizations to provide really interesting and exciting productions for people that bring the human side and the heartfelt side of mental illness to our awareness and attention. So the groups that have been doing this are the UNM Department of Psychiatry, Southwestern College, NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, Suicide Finding Hope, the Santa Fe Survivors of Suicide, Santa Fe Doorways, and El Museo Cultural of Santa Fe. So we're having these exciting, four really big, exciting events. We're having a production at the Lenzic of Minds Interrupted, in which there are seven local Santa Fe people who have prepared monologues about their life experience. Nice. And you get to feel who they are and understand their creativity. And it's powerful, powerful experience to see this. It's produced by Minds Interrupted, and these monologues they've been working on to train local people just like you and me to speak and share some of the things about their life experience. Minds Interrupted is a really important group. It also goes into the schools and goes to ninth grade health classes. Wow. And teaches kids about some of the aspects of the mental illness that they may encounter with their classmates, or if someone should unfortunately suicide, they will know something more about it and know a little bit better what to do and how to speak to people. So I think Minds Interrupted is a really important group to support.
Now, I definitely want to get into some of the aspects of mental illness in New Mexico, because I think because of our poverty, we have a very high level. But let me ask you first that in 1990, Congress established that this National Mental Illness Awareness Week. So now, is this the first time that you all have collaborated to this extent?
It's the first time, and we all collaborated because we were concerned about suicide here in Santa Fe and New Mexico. And the latest statistics, we had last year 281 suicides here in Santa Fe. We really need to be able to give support to people when this happens. You know, suicide can happen to anyone or any family. One speaker I heard once said, if you want to know what is the face of suicide, look in the mirror. It's something that affects probably 40 to 50 people if one person suicides. So if you think about if we have close to 300 suicides here, that's going to be multiplied by 40 to 50 times in terms of the impact that it has on other people.
And it is apparently the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and the 3rd leading cause of death for children, really ages 15 to 24 years. That's fairly extraordinary if that's their leading cause, or the 3rd leading cause of death. So we have a lot of young people struggling with suicide, don't we?
We do. We have, in fact, in Santa Fe in the last year that I mentioned, we had 36 young people suicide. And that's certainly more than any one of us want to see. So providing education in the schools, providing community performances like what we're going to have at the Lensic next Wednesday night are really important. We're also having an art show, and we're exhibiting 50 artists who've been challenged and had some experience around mental illness. Their work is going to be on display at the Museo Cultural. We're going to have an opening with music and food, and it's going to be lots of fun. And some of these artworks are totally amazing. I couldn't believe it when I saw the pictures. So we're really pleased about that. The art show will be opening on next Thursday night from 5 to 7, but we will be displaying those artworks all through the week until Sunday. And at the opening, we'll also have a silent auction for their artwork. Then on Thursday, we have one other event. We have Larry Dossey speaking for Santa Fe Doorways, and he's going to be talking about immortality, which is a really important topic for grieving people, for people who've experienced suicide, to understand something about that. But it's important for all of us.
What do you mean by immortality?
Well, for example, I lost my mother, and the question came up, where is she? You know, what happens to people after death? Is there an aspect of the soul of them that lives on? What is it? So Larry Dossey's title is Immortality, Fact or Fiction. And he's going to present some of the most recent medical and scientific research around the topic. And he's such an exciting speaker. He won a medical award for being a visionary in this year. He's published at least 10 books. So I think it's wonderful that we're going to have him speak. And then on Friday night, we have another really exciting event, and that is the psychiatrist from Columbia University, who's won all kinds of awards for her research on suicide, will be speaking. It's free for the public. It's at the CCA on Friday night next week. So these events are really exciting. We've never had this kind of collaboration before in Santa Fe, so I love it. You know, often we do things as individuals in Santa Fe or individual groups, but this time here we have six or seven groups pulling together and really putting their energy and light into such an important topic. And it's not going to be all serious or sad. It's really centered on human experience. And is
for
very
both people
lively.
Suffering and also people who are family members and loved ones.
For family members, this is a huge issue. It's an issue they deal with lifelong.
So we should say that among people who commit suicide, they say 90% struggle with some kind of mental disease. And what does that look like? What are the ranges there?
Well,
because it says kind of in a given year, So where do people kind of go in and out of this experience of any kind of mental illness, and to what degree?
I have to say I'm an educator, not a clinician, but I've trained clinicians in this area. And not all mental illness is diagnosed. And some people live for a long time. Their bipolar conditions are one of the one in every five persons diagnosed with bipolar illness is likely to commit suicide.
Ooh.
And I shouldn't say commit, I should say suicide, because suicide is not a crime. So that expression that is so easy to come to our lips about saying someone committed suicide, it really should be that they suicided, because it's not a crime at all. So it's mental illness can be episodic for many kinds of conditions. It can be undiagnosed. People can be in recovery and do extremely well and then have a relapse.
Right, right.
If people go off their meds, that can be dangerous for them. So we have a whole range in terms of people that suicide, from all economic areas and from all kinds of families. It's really difficult to make one general statement about it, but the suffering that occurs to the family who's left behind is huge. And we have a group, Santa Fe Survivors of Suicide, that meets twice a month to provide some support for those family members. But we would also like to be able to do much more for those families that have experienced suicide. And our group meets on the first and third Thursday of every month at the Unitarian Church on Galisteo in Barcelona from 5 to 6:30. It's free and anyone is welcome. I facilitate the group.
And you hear so many really heart-wrenching stories about families and young children who are being bullied now. This has been in the national news. And parents saying, I just had no idea. We thought we had good communication. We thought we had all of this. Are there any kind of signs or anything, if you're a family member and you suspect that a loved one may be going down this road? And as you say, it's hard to tell and it's episodic, and you don't know if a little bout of depression might be much more serious. What can people look out for?
People can look out for signs of isolation. Depression is really important to watch for. And there's a wonderful website, the American Association of Suicide Prevention, mm-hmm. that has articles and a long list of things that you can look for in order to see. But you also, if you're concerned about someone in your family, go to a counselor yourself and begin to discuss the issues that you see, because it's very frequent that people have no idea that someone is going to suicide, and they do, particularly in youth, because youth, their mood shift.
And they have so many hormonal changes.
Changes. So a 14-year-old, you know, you may think they're doing fine, or they're a little sad, or they're depressed, and but you see them in other ways that are wonderful. And the thing that's really sad is some of our best young people are the ones we lose to suicide, ones who are high achievers, who are brilliant, who are musicians.
Now, you mentioned at the very beginning some of the kind of stigma associated with mental illness, and here I think that really blocks a lot of people from seeking help. And I know I've spoken even on this radio show about, in Cambodia, they didn't call it PTSD, it was this idea of baskbat, this broken courage that occurred to them. And what are some of the cultural barriers here in New Mexico, because we have so many different cultures here that may look at depression or suicidal thoughts very differently?
Well, I think one of the major barriers is poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't have resources to go for care. There are low-cost options in Santa Fe that are available to the public.
And is there a website people can go to for that? We don't need to...
No, there's no website for it, but I do have a list with me with the telephone numbers and the places where you can go.
And I also noticed on one of your websites that you have on October 10th a National Depression Screening Day. Is that correct? And if so, where is that?
I'm not familiar with where that is in Santa Fe.
Okay. Well, maybe that's part of what they can find out if they go to the Minds Interrupted on October 9th at the Lenzig Performing Artists.
That's right.
I'm speaking right now with Janet Schreiber. She is the director for the Grief, Loss, and Trauma Certificate Program at Southwestern College. Janet, tell us a little bit more about New Mexico in particular and poverty and mental illness. Now, and also with these spates of gun violence, a lot of people talk about the impact of mental illness, and this was actually a cause. Can you tell us about some of that and the connections?
Not all people who experience mental illness are dangerous.
Of course.
But fire or gun control is an issue in relation to many states of mental illness. It's certainly a factor in suicide because it's the leading method of suicide in New Mexico is by firearm. So, in fact, it's over 50%
of
the suicides are by firearm.
And there are certain times of the year, now we discussed the other day where we talked about holidays and certain times when depression is even greater and when people need to really talk about self-care and what they need to do in these times, whether they suffer from mental illness or is any time a person suffers from depression, do they consider it suffering from a mental illness? Or is that too big a leap?
I think it's too big a leap. Mm-hmm. I think that there is, we are resilient in general.
Yes.
And there are times for all of us where we may feel sad, and we usually recover and feel more like a normal state. But I think it's important that we have screening for depression because there's a wide range of depressive kinds of behaviors and affects. And when people are depressed, it's very hard for them to seek help because they feel somewhat hopeless. And so screening, and they're very simple items on a screening test that one can do. And that
what kind of items do they screen for? How do we tell this?
Well, there's just a series of simple questions about their feeling states, and that can be very indicative of the degree to which they're depressed and they need help or medication to help them through it. I want to let you know that in Santa Fe we have a number of places where low-cost mental health education, screening, and services are available. The Santa Fe Community Guidance Center, and the phone number for that is 986-9633. They have a walk-in clinic from Monday to Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Southwestern College, which I'm affiliated, we have a counseling center over by Robin Charlie's bicycle shop on St. Michael's Drive.
Oh, really?
And we're open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday 9 to 2. And we have low cost. We have a trust fund for serving children. So that can be at no cost. We always have a sliding scale. We have occasionally we have a waiting list, but it's usually not very long.
And what's happening with the resources here in New Mexico? There have been a lot cut for some of the services, and I know that some of it is impacting mental health treatment here. So how are we compensating for that? And are people getting all of the help that they need?
You know, I only know what I read in the newspaper in terms of that. And
you can trust journalists, really.
Unfortunately, there are some people who are not getting their services because we've shifted things so abruptly. And we still have, I would also urge people, if they're really concerned, we have a crisis response hotline that can be called. And the number for that is 820-6333.
820-6333. So that's a crisis hotline 24 hours?
It's a crisis hotline. The 24-hour one is 485-7166. And that's operates for all of northern New Mexico. It's out of Albuquerque.
Oh, this is good. And we should talk about some of the costs of it. I mean, it's like preventative care in any kind of health system. This says serious mental illness can cost America $193.2 billion in lost earnings per year. So this not only impacts the families emotionally and mentally, but, I mean, economically.
It can bankrupt a family, absolutely. And we, of course, have a lot of people here that aren't insured in New Mexico. So that makes it even more difficult. But that's why in mentioning centers, I wanted to mention ones that are very low cost.
Yeah, yeah. And also just the impact that it can be treated. I mean, there may be
absolutely
so many people living with this who think that this is their final state and this isn't true.
That's right. Or they may find their lives are just so disorganized, they're not manageable and they don't know why.
And oh, okay.
So help is always available.
So it could be that minor, that they just don't understand why they can't get it together?
That's right. That's right.
And in terms of treatment, I mean, there's lots of things people can do in terms of perhaps starting a meditation program, being in community. But you talk a lot about medication. And is this easily accessible? Are there different kinds of medication that people take?
It's a rather complex issue to talk about the range of psychopharmacology, and I really don't feel qualified.
But there is a whole range, and people can go in.
But there's a whole range, and people can go in, and Santa Fe Community Guidance Center is particularly good with that. They have a psychiatrist on staff, and it's a complex issue, but there are, for things like bipolar disease, there are medications that work quite well. And people can be on medications, have their illness controlled, and really do extremely well. I have a number of friends that are bipolar, that as long on their meds, they're productive, active members of the community. Mm-hmm. Some of them are quite brilliant, and they make enormous contributions to our society.
Yeah,
but they have to stay
well
on their medication.
And if they don't, well, you know, and I've met a friend who was noting that he had met so many women here specifically who were bipolar, who had massive trauma. And I started wondering, is Santa Fe kind of a magnet for people who experience mental illness or trauma for one reason or another, but also because it is kind of a supportive environment? I mean, we talk a lot about healing. Do you experience any of that, or is that just...
Well,
an offhand experience of one person?
My answer is I don't know, but I suspect because we have a strong focus on creativity that can be a draw for people to come, because very often some of our most creative people have to deal with some of the challenges. And illness is episodic you know, if someone's well-controlled, you might never know, but...
Exactly.
It's important to be able to get help for people. And there's a cultural barrier in that often people think that counseling, if you go to counseling, you're not a full-functioning individual.
Right,
and you're
right.
Defective in some way. And that's not really what it's about. I mean, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And counseling is there to support people, not to not to label them in some way.
I think that's very important to say. And just to recap here, we're talking about Mental Illness Awareness Week, which begins next week. There are a number of programs that will be going on throughout the week. Minds Interrupted on October 9th, 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. Santa Fe Doorways, October 10th at 11:45 a.m. There will be a special presentation. Inside Out Exhibit and Fundraiser, October 10th, and the opening reception is 5 to 7. That's at the El Museo Cultural. And I'm reading these because you mentioned there's no website. Ideas in Psychiatry, inaugural lecture, October 11th at 6 p.m. And this is about suicide risk factors and strategies for prevention. So for those of you who may have loved ones who you yourself may feel that you're struggling with this, and again, during the holidays, people especially get very, very depressed. It's a time when we all need a lot of support and a lot of self-care. So I hope people go and check out some of these resources. I've been here with Dr. Janet Schreiber, who runs the Grief, Loss, and Trauma Certificate Program at Southwestern College. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to be speaking with Talia Winokur. She's the director of Breakthrough Santa Fe, which is a program helping a lot of kids learn the skills that they'll need to succeed in competitive high schools. And it has just been awarded a Pinion Award by the Santa Fe Community Foundation. We'll be right back.